Chapter 28. Recovery. Rain poured down onto Canterlot, the city's weather pegasi fulfilling their duties with the scheduled downpour. As was usual for around this time, most of the city's inhabitants had retreated indoors to escape the rain, with the exception of a few. The first exception were a group of fillies and colts, splashing and playing in the mud, as all children do at some point in their young lives. The second set, out in the rain, was a pair of captains, Vladimir Vespertilio and Cardus. Both stood in front of a completely dry casket in one of Canterlot's many cemeteries. This particular one was just a short distance away from the castle, wherein the gravestones were more akin to large works of art, meticulously created by the most skilled of craftsponies. This was because this cemetery was reserved for the most distinguished war heroes, honored as such by the princesses themselves. It was here that Commander Hurricane was interred. She had been moved from her original burial place after the capital city of Everfree was abandoned and left to nature's reclamation after Nightmare Moon. It was also here that the famed Night's Watch was laid to rest, knights who fell defending a rather large wall up in the north, fighting against undead ponies brought about by remaining vestiges of King Sombra's dark magic. And now, it was here that posthumously promoted Sergeant Major Longshot was put to rest. The area around the casket had been kept clear of rain out of respect for the fallen soldier, and after the service, those attending had slowly drifted away indoors, where they would discuss their memories of the smart-mouthed sergeant over food and drink. Now, only Vladimir and Captain Cardus remained in front of the simple but elegantly crafted casket, on which sat a picture of the pony in question, signature smirk on his face, and all the medals he had earned during his service to the equestrian crown, and one of them was new. Eventually, though, even they had to move on. Cardus was the first to go, the changeling heading towards the castle where his wife and young daughter were still staying. Vladimir stayed a little while longer, out of respect for his friend, but he too eventually had to leave. With a final salute to Longshot, he turned and exited the cemetery entirely, intent on returning back to his duties as captain of the Lunar Guard. The next day. The sun shined brilliantly, almost blindingly to his still-sensitive eyes, through the curtains as Commander Broadsword of the Equestrian Solar Guard peered through, looking down onto the street below. A few carts and carriages passed through the street as ponies carried on with their daily lives as they normally did. Though he could spot a few ponies loitering around intersections and in other key spots, examining the crowd intently. Broadsword knew enough to recognize them as sentries of Queen Chrysalis, guards who had been stationed around the hospital for the protection of their princess. And Broadsword couldn't help but feel a stab of regret at his role in her predicament, and in other atrocities committed in recent days. His hospital room was fairly standard. Flower sat just by the bed after having been placed there by his big sister when she and their parents had visited earlier. He'd even received a Get Well Soon card from his colleagues in the guard. But so far, no pony had discussed with him what had happened, or rather, what he had been made out to be by the mysterious infiltrator. However, he knew that was about to change when the door opened and, as regal as ever, in strode the Princess of the Sun. "Your Highness," he threw a quick salute.
"I was expecting your visit,"
he said to Princess Celestia as he turned his wheelchair to face her properly.
"It is good to see you up and about, Broadsword," Celestia stated as she gave him her usual motherly smile. "How are you feeling?"
Broadsword shifted in his seat,
good, all things considered. My body took quite a beating, being hung up like that for so long. But that that changeling, only just kept me from dying. My comfort wasn't high on his priority list. The doctors want me to stay in here a few more days for observation, and I'm to stay in this damn chair until I can walk without cracking my jaw into the pavement.
I will make sure your doctors make you comfortable during your stay here, Celestia assured.
No need, Your Highness. Compared to my last accommodations, this is a life of luxury. Besides, I enjoy your company as always, but we both know you aren't here just to make a social call.
Celestia sighed. I'm afraid not. I was rather hoping you could give us some insight into who our mysterious infiltrator was, as well as his motives.
Well, he wasn't exactly tight-lipped. He loved to brag. He talked about how once Twilight Sparkle was dead, Equestria and Chrysalis's hive would wage war with one another. Then whoever won that fight would then be taken out by whoever was sponsoring this little operation.
Did he give any indication who his queen was?
I'm afraid not. No, he didn't give me that much detail, but I don't think his hive is truly even behind this.
Celestia raised an eyebrow.
Explain.
Perhaps I should start from the beginning. It started at the wedding.
Broadsword explained how he had carried out his duties for the wedding security, him being in charge of the Solar Guard with their captain himself being the groom. He then told Celestia how, when the invasion began, the unexpected attack completely overwhelmed their defenses, which are not meant to deal with that type of attack. During this time, he was split off from the other guards, where the changeling was lying in wait. He told the princess of how he woke in the cavern, and how over time, the changeling would brag about his achievements, and arrogantly gloat to the commander. Celestia's attention was particularly caught when he told of how the infiltrator had let slip that his actions would both save and strengthen his hive. Broadsword had inquired what his hive needed saving from, but the only answer he received was, "There are far worse things out there than me." He ended his story with how Vladimir had found him and how he had saved the captain from the guard, all of which Celestia had read in Vladimir's report.
"And that's pretty much everything," Broadsword concluded. "Is there anything else?"
A smile graced Celestia's face.
"No. You have been most helpful. Please, take it easy and get well soon, Commander."
"I will, Princess. I hope you find the Lings who did this and take them down."
"That is the intent,"
Celestia simply stated as she exited the hospital room, leaving Broadsword alone.
"Did you get all of that?"
Celestia asked the individual standing just outside the door.
"Everything,"
Chrysalis responded.
"And it links in with the infiltrator's final words. He may have been a monster, there is no denying that. But apparently his hive was seemingly coerced into acting out of the will of another, under threat of annihilation. They were just puppets."
"But who was the puppet master?"
Celestia asked.
"Oh, there are plenty of queens who would literally kill to turn Equestria into their personal love farm. However, very few would be brave enough to do it. And to target my hive specifically in conjunction with those plans."
"Any particular suspects?"
she inquired. Chrysalis thought on this a moment.
"Out of the 20 queens in existence, I can think of 4. All of whom have hives far larger than mine."
Celestia sighed.
"Then I entrust you with investigating this matter further. We have no experience with the political structure of the hives, and I fear direct involvement at this time will only complicate matters."
"I agree,"
Chrysalis nodded.
"However, that being said,
Celestia looked Chrysalis dead in the eyes.
Should you require Equestria's aid in the near future, all you need do is ask.
Chrysalis smiled.
I thank you for your assistance, Celestia. And with our negotiators continuing their talks, I would say the shared future of our two peoples looked bright on this day. Now, if you'll excuse me, I will be spending the foreseeable future at my daughter's side.
Celestia couldn't help but wish that that was what she could do. But the day was still young and her duties called. So, with a simple nod, the two parted ways, with Celestia heading back to Canterlot Castle, where day court would soon commence. But as Queen Chrysalis went, one thought stayed on her mind.
Four potential queens. But in the end, I know it was you, Crudelis. If only there were proof.
Sends her regards.
The guard, Broadsword, I believe, whispered to me.
There was a stab of pain, and once more, it repeated. Over and over, Twilight witnessed the events that ended her last conscious moments in the outside world, and only the smallest fragments of her mind even realized what was happening. And just like every other time, events repeated.
Cardus drove his blade into the guard's eye socket. Once the guard slumped, Cardus swung his blade onto the next guard. However, something else caught my eye. Turning around, I saw two of my own guards fighting three of those traitors. And they were losing. Before I could process what was happening, one of the traitors did one queen sleep with his sword and took off the heads off both changeling guards, the very same two that I had met outside of my room that very morning. They didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve to die. Why was this happening? No! I screamed and sent out a beam of lavender magic violently towards the killer.
Only this time, her beam of magic met nothing. Twilight Sparkle floated within a blank void. There was nothing as far as the eye could see.
Hello?
Twilight called out, and voices responded to her call. Suddenly, hundreds, if not thousands of voices all called out in excitement, as for the first time in days, Twilight's connection to the Hive was reestablished. Twilight hadn't realized they were gone, but now that they were back, the once alien voices welcomed her like a soft blanket after a hard day's work. They were excited, as her reemergence in the Hive mind could only mean one thing. A bright white light enveloped Twilight, and she closed her eyes to protect them from the flash. When it was all over, her body ached as if it hadn't moved in days. Slowly, she opened her eyes to find herself surrounded by her family, both pony and changeling, all watching her expectantly.
Hi?
Twilight said, slightly confused.
Twilight!
They all shouted at once, glomping her already weakened body, which threatened to turn into dust at the contact. Twilight croaked out underneath the massive bodies, who all retracted and gave her sheepish, apologetic smiles.
See? I knew you'd make it back to us, Nightlight said confidently.
Oh, we were so worried for you, dear,
Velvet tearfully admitted.
Worried for me? What happened?
Then it hit her like the Friendship Express. The attack, the poisoned dagger, the events repeating over and over. She'd been in a coma.
Oh, sweet Celestia, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to scare you like that. There, my daughter,
Chrysalis cooed.
You're safe now, and those ponies can't hurt you anymore. What do you mean?
Chrysalis smiled warmly.
All will be explained later,
For now, just rest.
After a moment, Twilight Weekly nodded.
Okay. I will.
Twily?
A nervous voice said from behind Nightlight. Twilight turned to look at the voice's owner, and Shining Armor stepped into view, before collapsing at her bedside into a groveling position.
Oh, Twily, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean any of those things I said, and I...
Twilight smiled at her brother, and she put a hoof on his shoulder.
BBBFF, there is nothing to apologize for.
Shining looked down at his sister in disbelief, before scooping her into another, gentler hug, one which she returned all too gladly. After everything they had all been through, everything that had happened within recent times, for the first time since it all began, a single certainty dominated all of their minds. Everything was going to be fine. And meanwhile, at the other end of the hospital, Broadsword had wheeled himself out of his room and now sat in front of the large window looking over the hospital's back courtyard, which was far more pleasant to observe than a simple street. The gardeners had done an outstanding job of maintaining it.
Hey, are you okay?
A voice asked. Broadsword turned to see a white-colored mare with a scarlet mane and eyes, along with a snowflake cutie mark, sit beside him by the window. He noticed her right foreleg was in a sling.
Wait, you're Commander Broadsword, right? I hear even after spending weeks tied up, you saved Captain Vladimir's ass when he was meant to be saving yours.
She laughed quietly. Initially caught off guard, Broadsword soon couldn't help but laugh in return.
We saved each other, I think. And I can't thank him enough for getting me out of that cave.
It wasn't just you, you know. We all had a hoof in it.
The mayor gave him a playfully stern look.
Wait, you were there, weren't you?
EUP Lieutenant Scarlet Snow at your service.
She responded with a smirk.
Snow? Where have I heard that name before?
My family are descendants of the Night's Watch, but I prefer to make my own way rather than depend on some famous, long-dead lineage to make a living.
Broadsword was still impressed, but he decided to drop the matter.
Fair enough. What are you doing up here, anyway?
Same reason as you, I reckon. Wanted to get out of that hospital room. Had a broken foreleg and a concussion. I'm getting unleashed into the outside world tomorrow.
Oh, I really wish I was going with you. It's better than the cave, but I really want to get out of here and just go back to my duties.
I could break you out of here,
she jokingly suggested.
I found a black and white striped outfit in a bush with a note saying, for jailbreak emergencies, so I could use that.
Broadsword laughed.
Oh, my savior!
Both of them sat laughing for a few more moments, getting it out of their systems.
So, want to go for a drink later? Broadsword asked. I could use the company.
Scarlet Snow smiled.
I would like that.
3 weeks later. Princess Twilight moved through the hallway of her hive, her ever-so-faithful assistant at her side.
So, Twilight, are we going to Pinky's party tomorrow night?
He asked hopefully. He was almost bouncing. Twilight chuckled and looked down to him.
Wouldn't miss it, Spike. I miss Ponyville at times, so it'll be good to go for a visit.
I miss it too, he agreed. We should work out a schedule for allowing regular visits.
Twilight smiled at the idea.
Add it to the to-do list.
Spike dropped back a bit and rummaged through Twilight's saddlebags.
Will do. That's the one next to the checklist on organizing checklists, right?
Yep, that's the one.
Twilight responded happily. The two came to a stop just outside the throw room.
Spike, I just wanted to thank you for coming to live with me at the Hive. I wasn't so sure you would leave Ponyville so quickly.
I know I was reluctant to leave.
Spike moved in and hugged the changeling princess.
Twilight, wherever you go, I go.
Thanks, Spike.
Twilight returned the hug.
Now, come on, Twilight. Haven't you got some pony nobles to deal with?
It's mostly diplomats coming over to see the hive. Only a couple of nobles are coming along to see what all the fuss is about.
Twilight rolled her eyes.
But yes, I'd better get going. Until now, all the negotiations have taken place in Equestria, so this is fairly major.
Got it. I'll make sure things are arranged back in the room for when you finish.
That's my number one assistant.
She patted his head affectionately, before using her magic to pass Spike her bags.
Well, it's what I'm here for.
Spike chuckled as he moved off down the corridor. After watching the young dragon go, Twilight turned to the large double doors and pushed them open. On her obsidian throne at the end of the room, Chrysalis smiled affectionately when she spotted her daughter. Chrysalis dismissed Captain Cardus, who nodded to Twilight as he passed.
Good morning, Twilight. Sleep well? I did, Mother. Thank you. Is everything ready? Thanks to your exceptional organizational skills, we couldn't be more ready.
Chrysalis stated as she smiled.
Now come, let us ready ourselves for the pony's arrival.
Chrysalis motioned Twilight to the second obsidian throne. Twilight stared at the seat hesitantly. Never before had she sat in the seat intended for her. Eventually, though, she gathered up her courage to approach, staring at her own cutie mark displayed proudly in the backrest as she went. When she sat on her throne, she found it to be a perfect fit for her, the padding on the seat making it particularly comfortable. Chrysalis looked on at her daughter with proud eyes.
Oh, Vera, wherever you are, I know that you are as proud as I am. Thank you for everything.
Twilight looked up at her mother and returned her smile, before looking towards the door expectantly, the ponies due to arrive any moment. She sat up ramrod straight, channeling the regal posture her mother and Celestia always made look so easy, and found herself channeling that very same posture with little effort.
I could get used to this,
Twilight thought to herself. And when the ponies entered the throne room, they were in awe at the queen and princess waiting for them.